You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Love you guys. Welcome. All right, well, are you ready to get into this? Some years ago, in the midst of all of my reading volumes upon volumes of systematic theology, which I know is just... I came upon a little book, which was wonderful. And it's not anything profound, but the book, I think, captures the spirit of Christianity. Erwin McManus talks about, in the barbarian way, that Christianity... it's not safe, it's dangerous. Yes? I mean, think about our prayer this morning. Dr. Steve Martin said it. It's dangerous. We open up with the Wesleyan Covenant prayer. Put me to doing, put me to suffering, let me be laid aside for you or employed for you and all this good stuff. That's dangerous. That's not saying, hey, God, how about we do this? It's dangerous. In fact, in many ways, I think the Christian life is kind of like a halo jump. High altitude, low opening. Special forces developed it because guys were getting picked off. They were being picked up by the radar. And so the idea was simply this: let's fly at 40,000 feet, jump out of a moving airplane that's perfectly good, go 200 miles an hour, and at 2,000 feet, we're going to pull the chute, land as quickly as possible, and get in the fight. Who's in? See, the look kind of says it all, doesn't it? That's crazy. I don't want to do that. That's not safe. It's dangerous. It's not predictable. It's wild. And I think that's kind of what we want and expect from Christianity, that's safe, predictable, certain. There's a formula that if I do this or say this or pray this, that God will provide me within 25 minutes a low-stress, perfectly navigable, three-point solution with a poem and an illustration along the way. I wonder if that's how we look at prayer. Quick and easy, simple solutions that are 3 points, and before I know it, I have a 95% return rate on my investment of time, and when I pray, God is going to answer all of the deepest needs of my heart, and it's going to all come to fruition exactly the way that I want. It's kind of like an easy button. If prayer is prayer, I suppose, an easy button that conforms us, though, to the things of this world, or is prayer an invasion of the kingdom of God which brings heaven to earth? We prayed it this morning in the Lord's Prayer, yes? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You realize how dangerous that prayer is? Now, to us, it just becomes rote because we've said it and said it a number of times. And if you haven't, we're glad that you're here and you're investigating the things of God here at St. Luke. But it becomes rote. I don't think we recognize it for how dangerous it really is. If you pray, your kingdom come and your will be done, that presumes that your will isn't going to be done. Who doesn't want to have their will done? I'd rather have it my way. Anybody else? Yeah. That's not safe. That's not easy. That's not predictable. That doesn't fit with all the things that I necessarily want. So who's praying dangerously lately? That God's will would come. That God's kingdom would come. That's part of what Daniel was all about, not to conform to the things of this world, but to transform them by the glory and the presence of God. How do we do that? Well, you have to take a jump. And that's not easy. It's not comfortable. Nobody wants to jump out of a perfectly good moving airplane, although I suppose once my kids graduate, I might give it a try. Mandy and I are in for doing dangerous things when we get to a certain age. What if some of you could enter into this new way of living that took you far beyond the things of this world, into this way of being a warrior for the kingdom? And the first way to get there, the start to the whole thing, is to stop praying, take me there. What do you mean, take me there? I mean that our tendency is typically to pray one of two things. Take me to someone else's greener pasture that looks better, smarter, faster, more spiritual, better prayer, more purpose-driven, whatever it is. You want what somebody else has, and so you're praying for that. God, I want to have a faith like, I want to have a purpose like, I want to pray like, I want to know what I'm supposed to do like, I want the wisdom like. You want everybody else's greener pasture, and so you say, take me there to that greener pasture, oh God. Or you pray, God, I have a really good idea, and here's the plan, so take me there. How many of y'all have ever tried to convince God? Man, me too. Thanks for not letting me be alone. You know, you lay it all out. Oh, Lord. You kind of thanksgiving, adoration. You are great. You're wonderful. So I have this idea. I think it would be wonderful if you took me to this green pasture. I know it's got to be your will. And we find some obscure proverb to try to make our point with God. Have you ever prayed that way? I bet y'all have. Take me there. That's the prayer. That's not a halo jump, friends. That's fence jumping. That's saying, here's my there that I'm called to live in, but I want another there that looks better, brighter, shinier, faster, prettier. I saw it on Instagram and TikTok, Lord. Come on. Take me there. Well, that tends to be how we can pray at times. I know what's good. Man, I don't know about you, I've gotten myself in some humdingers with those kind of prayers. And maybe this happens for you in your life. Maybe you go there, and then you pray that God would bless it once you get there. Anybody else ever done it that way? That doesn't work either. Are we tracking? Why do we forget to pray, or why do we not pray dangerously? Well, Jesus has a radically different idea about this. And I would love, we haven't been able to read scripture together for a little bit because we've been dealing with huge quantities of text. Today, four verses. Four verses to change your life. Are you in? Let's roll, people of God. Let's read this together with some chutzpah. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Now this, I hate to tell you, because the Bible is inspired and authoritative. It's the Word of God. So there's never a bad part of Scripture. But this isn't a barn burner. Are you with me? I mean, this isn't Daniel in the lion's den or the fiery furnace or crazy kings. Or it's not any of that. It seems almost like it's bland. Okay, so he went out to pray and then he left and went somewhere else. But the passage, it comes on the heels of one of Jesus' most exciting days in ministry. In fact, many people call it his first day in ministry, and that's in the Gospel of Mark. And what we read in Mark chapter 1 a little bit earlier is that he goes to the synagogue, he begins to teach as somebody who has authority, and people are amazed, and he begins to cast out demons, he begins to heal the sick people. And then this is what I love, it says, that evening at sundown, they brought to him... How many people know that's a lot of people? Okay, all. And then it, just so you didn't miss it, Mark says, and the
whole city was gathered.
So you got all the people, you got the whole city gathered together at the door, and he healed
many.
Yeah, he healed a lot of people, and he cast out
many.
So there's a lot of stuff going on here. I mean, it's exciting. It feels like halo jumping, like, let's go, I'm all in. God is moving in a powerful way. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the Asbury Revival. Our house groups are going to be studying a bit of the Asbury Revival to complement this teaching series. But I hear a little bit of the Asbury Revival. I mean, it sounds exciting, engaged, switched on. Kingdom of God invading earth from heaven. Awesome kind of stuff. Let's go. And then we come to this verse, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. But what we should do is look at it and go, wham! There it is. There it is. See, we almost miss it. Because the questions we're asking are, what did he pray? What did the Father do? What did the Father say? Where was he? Where did this prayer happen? Can I go there? What was the prayer? How effective was the prayer? These are all the wrong questions. The question is really this: what is Jesus modeling for us? What is Jesus showing us how to do? Because when we look at this, it looks just like, all right, so Jesus went out and prayed. He did that a lot. But what we'd miss is the echo. That very early, while it's still dark, God's getting ready for resurrection to happen. God's getting ready for new life to begin. God is beginning to birth something new where the kingdom invades from heaven all the way to earth. See, the mistake that we make, friends, is thinking that the excitement, that the halo jump is Jesus' first day of ministry, that where all the action is and people show up to the door and demons getting casted out and people being healed and the whole town showing up and saying, Jesus, come on, let's go. We think that's the halo jump. No, it's not, friends. That's the halo jump. Because it's creating space for God to get ready to do something unthinkable, unimaginable, powerful, where the kingdom of God invades earth all the way from heaven. That's prayer. That's prayer. And so what the scriptures tell us is there he prayed. Some think that was the cave. Maybe, maybe not. But there he prayed. On the Sea of Galilee, he took this amazing, dangerous leap of faith sort of jump and got up early in the morning and went out to the middle of nowhere, and he sought the fellowship of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus must have asked, what's next? Where are we going today, Dad? Now, here's why this is so huge. We're always praying for another there because it is so hard to simply be there, we might say it here, present with God wherever we are at, yes? We always want another greener pasture. We always want something else. God, what are you going to do? But what about today? What about this morning? What about what God has in store? What about where God is desiring to lead us and not missing something along the way? We always want another there. And what if God were simply saying, I want you there, right here with me, and I'll lead you to where I want to take you. Watch what happens next in the scriptures. So, rising early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus halo jumped. Went to a desolate place. He prayed, and Simon and those who were with him searched. Say it with me, searched. He searched for him, and they found him, and they said to him, everyone is
looking for you.
How many people know here that there is a difference between searching and looking for? Let me tell you how this is true. Gentlemen, when we go to the store, do we look for or do we hunt? I don't want to be there. I'm going to go in, I'm going to get my stuff, and I'm going to leave. Okay? How many of you have a beautiful, lovely bride who you think is absolutely amazing, who likes to look for things? You know what I'm talking about? And there's this whole theology we'll get into someday called the theology of the chair. And you sit there's one chair for the poor guy who's there while she's looking. You came to hunt, but she came to look. Are we tracking? Searching and looking are two radically different things. Searching presumes, this is Kentucky theology now, friends. Searching is, I'm going to hunt you down until I find you. Looking for is, so the disciples are searching for Jesus. They're going to hunt him down and find him no matter what, because they follow him, because they trust him, because they want to know his heart, because they want to do what he's doing. So they're going to search with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, says the scriptures. And yet everybody in the town who, they had a great first day, right? There were people getting healed and demons getting cast out, and everybody went to the front door. They're like, are we going to do that again, or what's the story? Looking for, in the Gospel of Mark, is always negative. Looking for is something that gets in Jesus' way. Jesus, early in the morning, while it was still dark, went to a desolate place, and he prayed, and he sought the Father, and the disciples who were searching for him, they said, hey, look, everybody's looking for you. Let's go do this again. Let's go do this again. And what does Jesus say? Nope. There's a new there. It's time to go on to the next towns. We did this town. It was great. But my Father, he's got a different purpose and a different plan. Here's the thing. I think we tend to pray a lot for things that we're looking for. I'm looking for peace. I'm looking for purpose. I'm looking for the next there. I'm looking for a new job. I'm looking for health. I'm looking for happiness. We tend to pray a lot for things that we're looking for. How often do we pray and simply search for the heart of God? God, I want to know you. I want to know your heart. I want to know what you want for my life. I want to know what you want me to do. I want to simply be present there, wherever there is, with you. We're great at prayers where we're looking for God, but what about prayers where we're really searching for God? We're going to hunt him down until we find him. And I think the heart of God's moved by that. I know when my wife hunts me down, she says my name in one syllable, Brian Ebel. My heart's moved. And the heart of God, when we go searching with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the heart of God is moved. And God desires to make himself known to us. Jesus says, we did this. It was great. But we got to go to the next town. We got to go there. That's where the Father is leading. How often do we miss the next there because we're looking for Jesus to take us where we want and not searching for Jesus to lead us to where he wants? I don't know about you, but I've gotten in some messes in my life doing that. Anybody else? Well, God, I think it'd be a really good idea if. God, what do you want? Where are you leading? What do you see? What am I missing? And this manifests in how we pray. Let me show you what I mean. For the next 45 seconds, you ready? For the next 45 seconds, I want you to pray about whatever you want to pray about. You ready? Go. Lord, we commit these prayers to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, show of hands. How many of you prayed for other people? How many of you prayed for health situations? Okay. How many of you prayed for your family? Okay, good. All great prayers. Great prayers. How many of you prayed for God's guidance? Okay, we did pretty good at 11 o'clock. How many of you prayed to be led by the Spirit of God to whatever's next in your life? Okay, now we're tracking. So I want a halo jump with you. And let's pray a dangerous prayer. Are you ready? We've already prayed a few. I'm going to pray. You pray after me. You ready? Lord, forgive me that I've tried to bend your heart and not asked you to bend mine. Today, I commit to searching for your heart, for your will, for your purpose in my life. Lord, I pray that wherever you are, you'd lead me to follow you closely. Lord, I pray that whatever you're doing, you'd strengthen me to join you. Lord, I pray that whenever you're moving, you'd move me to action. May the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. That's dangerous. Now you're in trouble. Good luck. Just teasing. What if we started the day there? And I'm not saying don't pray for your family, don't pray for health, don't pray for all these situations. We got to pray for those too. But what if we started the day that before our feet hit the floor, we said, Jesus, whatever you're going to do, I'm in. Take me there. What would your life look like? How many people would you see in your life, instead of as being distractions, they would become ministry opportunities? How many of the roadblocks that you end up with and you go, oh! You go, wow, this is exactly why you want me right here, right now. How about the difficult client or patients that you're thinking, oh, sweet Jesus, let us just move on from this as quickly as possible. You looked at as an opportunity to love them well. What if you realize that wherever you are, that's, you're there, the greener pasture that you really need? I think there's three kinds of folks here today. There's lookers. That kind of came out funny. I just realized that. Sorry about that. There's lookers and people who are looking for God to do the next thing in their life. That's what I'm after. They're looking for God to do the next thing in their life. And here's the thing, right? The struggle for the people who were living and looking for God to do the next thing. Did Jesus show up again? No, he went on to the next town. And that brings us to the searchers. The searchers were like the disciples, and they were searching for the heart of God, and they were going to hunt down Jesus if that's what they had to do. But searchers, I think we tend to say, God, I want my will to be done, or I want somebody else's greener pasture. And that leads us to what I'm calling the halo jumpers. That's where God wants to take us, to simply say, God, whatever you want, I'm starting this day with you. You're in charge of my life. I'm done doing the leading. I want you to be the leader. Don't take me there. Lead me. Lead me wherever you want to go. Now that's a prayer. That's a prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that that's your desire. You don't want us to take us somewhere where we want to go. Sometimes you allow it. Sometimes it teaches us something. Sometimes, God, you allow it just because you're good. But you want to be Lord and leader in our lives. And we've prayed some dangerous prayers today, God. And so our prayer is simply this, that you would not only be Lord and Savior of our lives, but you would become our leader. And God, you would lead us wherever our there is. And may you strengthen us. Strengthen us to follow, strengthen us to serve you, strengthen us to love our neighbor as ourselves. We pray this in and through the mighty name of Jesus on all the people of God said. Amen. Let's stand and sing. You know this altar is always open for you.